I'd like you to think, as we begin, about a person in your life that was a giver, person just by their whole way of life was giving, or a particular time where some special gift was given to you. I'm the middle of five children, and growing up, both of my parents had to work to provide for us. We lived comfortably, but there really wasn't much extra available to us. And I remember a summer when I was either 8 or 9 years old, a friend of the family took all five children to the store and helped each one of us buy something for us. It really stands out in my mind because that's the only time as a child I remember that kind of thing happening. And I remember what I bought. I bought a swim mask and swim fins, and I thought that was the greatest thing to be able to have. As you think about somebody in your life that is a giver, it could be a relative, it could be a friend, an acquaintance, something like that. They gave, and you remember it, but as what we've been singing about this morning already, that person is a giver, but God is the ultimate giver. God is the first giver. And as we're going to see in our first verse this morning, God commands us to give to others. So when you and I give to others, we're copying God. Remain seated. Let's read together our scripture for today, our first scripture. It's 1 Peter 4, verse 10, and let's read from the screen. Let's read together. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, as Jesse mentioned, we're in this sermon series called Reset the Grid, looking at the Christian life, looking at different perspectives of the Christian life, and each week, pretty packed with verses and ideas because I'm giving an overview of different aspects of the Christian life. And today we're looking at giving and receiving. So if you put up the slide, next slide, here's our outline for today. The Christian life is a life of giving and receiving. The Christian life is a life of sharing with others what God is doing in my life. And notice what I added, for those who want to hear. The Christian life is a life of serving that includes sacrifice at times. The Christian life is a life of good works that God has prepared for us after He rescues us, after He adopts us and begins to change us. And the order is important to recognize how that works. We'll talk about that briefly. And then finally, the Christian life is a life of forgiving and being forgiven. So let's begin with the first point. Christian life is a life of giving and receiving. And let me give a little bit of context, because we want to understand where we fit in what God is doing and His purpose for us. So if you go to the next slide, God has a purpose for every Christian. In another part of Peter's letters that he wrote, he calls Christians a royal priesthood. So we are made priests by God to be priests for God, and we have two primary assignments, worship and work. When I talk about worship, I'm talking about you and I thanking God, praising God, and delighting in God for who He is and for His works, and not just on Sundays either. Because, and I put that first, because without worship, without understanding where worship fits in our lives and what we're to be doing, the next part, our work, will end up getting distorted, how we look at our work and how we do it. Now, God is working directly through His Spirit in people's lives. But in addition to that, God has chosen to make Christians His hands and His feet and His voice. That's part of God's plan. He wants to use you and me as we interact with people, as we talk, as we work, as we serve and give, all these things, to be His hands and feet and voice. Now, one of the ways that you see in Scripture that this is expressed is in 1 John 4:7, another command. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. So when we're loving others, we're being God's hands and feet and voice. But when we talk about love, you have to ask the question, is John here talking about actions or feelings? And the answer is yes. first about actions, because love is a choice. You and I choose to do good to others, to love others and care for them. But often, when we choose to love others, the feelings follow. Now, I say that and I talk about both of those because our culture says feelings come first. If you're gonna, you have to be true to your feelings, follow your feelings wherever they take you. And because we're humans and because we're broken people, our feelings take us all over the map. But if we love, if we choose to love and follow God in loving others, the feelings will follow in terms of caring for others. Now, these two thoughts, turn it down just a little bit there, Richard. These two thoughts help us as we look back again at our first verse, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. If you go to the next slide and look at what I've underlined. As each of us has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Grace, again, is talking about undeserved gifts, and varied gifts, they take many forms. So look at that first part. Each of us has received gifts from God. So here's a question that I want you to think about this week. Do you see how God has given to you in the past and is giving to you today? Do you see that? Now, God is working and God is giving. If you stop and think about and read the scriptures, even in Genesis 1, you see that God gave us life. He's the one who created us. And then we sang the song. He gave us the breath that we have. But not only life and this world to live on and the universe to put the world in, but for every Christian, he gave us spiritual life. He gave adoption. He reconciled us, taking us from enemies to not just being friends, but children with an inheritance. And then, as Jesse mentioned, God gives us every good gift we have. So God has been plenty busy giving, but that's not all. In our verse that we just read, he highlights a particular kind of gift, the abilities and the spiritual gifts that God has given Christians. And if you look other places in the New Testament, you see those spiritual gifts include things like serving, giving to others, leading, administering or organizing, encouraging. And in these gifts, when God gives these abilities, as we use them, he energizes us and he makes that work effective. There are some things you and I can do that we can be okay at, but it takes a lot of energy. For some people, it's being organized. For others, it's leading or being up in front of a group. And you can do it if you had to, but that's not a particular ability. You don't see God blessing that particular work. Others have those gifts. And as they lead, as they give, as they encourage, you see the effect of it. And that's what we're talking about here. And God has given us these gifts so that we can give to others. Again, as you and I are giving to others and serving, we're copying God. Now, one way to talk about giving, if you go to the next slide, we can talk about giving of our time and effort, of our money, of our influence or reputation. These are ways that we can give to others. But if we just stop here, then our giving can easily become kind of distant and impersonal. So let me give you another perspective on giving. Go to the next slide. As we give, we can care for people. We can choose to be friends. We can build relationships with them. But think about what that takes. In Northern Virginia, which is known for being a really busy place, and if you weren't busy when you got here, you'll be busy soon. Slowing down and taking the time to focus on others and invest in others. One of the things that you see when you look in the New Testament at Jesus, and the one study I mentioned last week, the person of Jesus, highlights this. Jesus took the time to look and to see not just a body, but a person. And he had compassion on them, and then he did good to them. So part of giving is not waiting for somebody to ask you for help, but initiating, taking the first step, choosing that you're going to serve them. And if you and I are going to serve, well, to do it well, we have to know what they need, which again means we have to take the time to enter into their world. As you're serving, seek their good, which again means knowing who that person is, what their situation is, and also learning what God says is good. Because today in our culture, we're surrounded with some ideas of good that really aren't. And then praying for others. When you and I pray, we are asking the God of the universe to work. We're asking the God who made every one of us and knows us completely, intimately, and has all power, is not limited, to work in other people's lives. One of the resources I mentioned, I think, last week was a book called A Praying Life by Paul Miller. And in there, one of the things that he talks about, one of the chapters, he says, and he's encouraging us in the book to be praying for others. And he says, but don't be surprised if somewhere along the line, as you're praying for other people, God says, oh, I want you to answer your own prayer. I'm going to use you in that person's life. And that can happen. And then as you and I are caring for people and being friends and serving them and giving to them, let your giving to these others be an overflow of God giving to you. Let it be an overflow of God giving to you, which is why it's important for you and I to see how it is that God is giving to us. Because if we don't see that God is giving to us, and all we see is this command to give to others, to love others and serve them, at some point it's going to become a burden, one that we might take up reluctantly and then try to avoid. Now, if you notice, the title of the sermon was Giving and Receiving, and in 2 Corinthians 8:14, we see both sides. This is Paul talking to the church there. He says, your abundance at the present time should supply their need so that their abundance may supply your need. What we see in this is that one, all of us have at times something that we can give. Maybe it's money, maybe it's time, then these other things, being a friend, caring, getting to know people. So there's times that we can give, but there's also times where we have times of need. And it's both. And you see both of these in our church motto, side by side. Three words that I like to use as pointers to three different truths. That God calls us to live side by side with Jesus every day. That means we're reading the Bible, so we're listening to Him, we're praying, we're talking to Him. We're actively trying to see how God is involved in our lives. Second, we're living side by side with others, being helped. And then side by side with others, helping others. Now, because as human beings, we can mess up anything good that God has given us, and He commands us to give, just a point to recognize that in keeping this command to give to others and to serve, we are not to ignore our own needs or the needs of our family, because we can do that. People have done that. Going back to 1 Peter 4:10, if you go to the next slide, I want you to recognize this pattern. It's very important that God gives to us so that you and I can give to others. God gives to us so that you and I can give to others. That's why I said He's the first giver, and because He created everything that exists, He's the ultimate giver. He continues to give. But also it means this, and I would encourage you to be praying and thinking, so as you are giving to others, as you're helping others, pray that God would show you an appropriate way to give God the credit. Because we didn't come up with what we have, whether it's our own time or money or abilities or anything else. We didn't come up with that. We were given that. So how can you and I give God the credit appropriately to the person we're helping and point the direction? When you and I do that, we're giving glory to God. We're showing Him to be great. Now, in keeping with this idea that we can mess anything up that's good, I want to just talk very briefly about two points that I'm calling points of balance in terms of the giving. And these are both have to deal with perspectives that people can have about giving. And so here's one. God does not command you and I to give to every need that we see of every person we see. Okay, that's not his command. If we try to do that, we will become overwhelmed and we will also become destitute. Almost as a side comment, when Jesus was in a conversation on something else, Jesus said, "You will always have the poor with you." Now, are you and I to help the people that are in poverty? And the answer is yes, as we are able. We are to help. Another point of balance related to that, often in America we think the simplest and easiest way to help is to give money, and oftentimes that is not actually the best way. Not necessarily to, maybe it's to give money and me, or maybe it's to give time, other things. So we're to help people in poverty. Are we going to eradicate it? No. No, we're not going to. Second point of balance, and again, has to do with perspective. And it has to do with this idea where some people look at life as limited. There's only so much pie. And if I'm going to get my piece of pie, I have to make sure you don't take my piece of pie. So that means you're my competitor, and you and you and you are my competitor. So think of it this way, not just of material things, but just kind of life in general. Because you and I are giving from what God gives us, remember that progression, God gives to us, we can give to others. Because you and I are giving from what God gives us, and if we're giving at God's direction, you don't have to worry about running out. You don't have to worry about using up all our stuff or all of us. Let me give you an example. Think of a couple that just had their first child. Now, we actually have a couple in the church that just had their first child this week. But I'm not pointing at them. Just think of the picture. A couple has the first child and they love that child very, very much. But then let's say that God gives them a second child. Do those parents now have to cut their love in half so I can love both children? No. That's a silly thing to say. But that's where that idea kind of takes you. I only have so much of me, only so much stuff, so I have to be careful and limit how much I give you and how much I do for you. No. God enables that parent, those parents, to love that second child just as much as the first. And if they have three or four, He'll love them all completely. And God does the same thing with us as He brings people into our lives that He wants us to give to. At one point, Jesus was speaking and He said, the Spirit, His Spirit, is like a fountain of living water, just gushing. Well, as Christians, we're given God's Spirit, which means, in a sense, we have a gushing fountain in us to give to us and to give through us to others. We're not going to run dry if we are listening to God and trying to work depending on Him as we're giving to others and caring for them. And so we can ask God's Spirit to give us the desire to give to others and to serve, and to give wisdom to us and the power as we interact with people in our family, at work, with our friends and neighbors, anybody that we come in contact with. That's point number one, a life of giving and receiving. The second point is an extension of number one. Christian life is a life of sharing with others what God is doing in my life for those who want to hear. I don't know about you, I don't know anybody that likes a pushy salesman. I remember several years ago, I was needing to buy a car, and I found a good ad with a good price for a dealership in the area. I knew they didn't have the greatest reputation, but I thought, I'll try that anyway. So I go, and I stayed about 10 minutes. Because it immediately became obvious when I met two or three of the salesmen. One, they were like sharks on a feeding frenzy. And two, it became very clear very quickly that all they cared about was making the sale. They didn't care if I got a good deal. And so I left. I think sometimes we forget, but that to a person who is not a Christian, if as a Christian I'm trying to convince them that the good news is good, that you're a sinner and you're all messed up, but God gives you hope, to a person who doesn't see that as good news, it isn't. Not then. And too often, the way that Christian evangelism is practiced, it can be done in a way that makes it impersonal. That I'm going through this thing I've been taught, I'm going through the presentation, but you don't get the sense that there's really a deep care, caring for the other person you're speaking to. So there is some difficulty there. And the other thing to recognize is our culture has made it very hard, much harder today, to talk meaningfully about Christianity than it has been in the past. But it's not impossible. So I just want to share two thoughts in this and give you a couple of examples in each, and then we'll move on. In Acts chapter 1, Christians are told to be witnesses. Have you ever seen a courtroom or been a witness in a courtroom? I've done both. When the witness is on the stand, they're being asked questions and they're going to end up telling, this is what I saw, this is what happened, this is what the other people did. Well, if you're a Christian, you're a Christian because God has done something in your life. And he's worked in your life and he is working today. So you have something to talk about. But how do you do it? How can we introduce and look for these opportunities? I think there's a few different ways. One would be talking with somebody that you know well enough, and there's an opportunity in the conversation just to share with them, hey, I'm a Christian and my faith is important to me. Period. Or another one. Two things I've noticed this. When you talk with friends or family or coworkers, often you end up talking about life's events and problems you've experienced, difficulties. Well, in both of those cases, talk about those. Just don't leave God out. If you had a problem you were dealing with and you prayed and you saw how God answered the prayer, you can share that. That's a part of what happened in your life. You can talk about these things. Don't leave God out. And what are you doing? You're offering an opportunity, if the person is interested, to talk about Christianity. If they're not interested, don't push it any further. Just wait and see. But then, you know, be praying for them and look for the opportunity so that when there is interest, when there is a conversation that goes further, you're ready for that. That's the second point, 1 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16. In your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense, that is, to give an answer, to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. The English translation says, make a defense. It almost was like, okay, let's go. Okay, like I'm trying to protect myself. When what it means is, somebody asks you a question, are you ready to give an answer? That's what it means. To give a reason for the hope that you have. So let's talk about that hope for a second. This hope that Peter is referring to should be an overflow of God working in your life. Now, let me just pause here for a second. If you're a Christian, God is working in your life. It's not a question of if, it's how. God is working in your life. Do you see him working? Which is why I asked the question earlier, to be thinking, how is God working in my life? Do I see how God is working in my life? If you do, then life is much more of an adventure as you're going through life and having the things that you enjoy and the things that are difficult. But, again, we can mess things up. And so even as Christians, there are times when we don't feel like we have a living hope, where things feel all messed up. How can that happen? We can be distracted by life, by our desires. We can be chasing our desires. We can get caught up in the busyness of life and all the things going on. We can feel pressures pushing on us, and we forget. We can forget for a time that God is busy working in our lives, doing good, constantly giving to us. And so again, let me encourage you to be praying that you see God working in your life and that you delight, you see the goodness in what he's doing. So in terms of the sequence of what's really happening, God's working in a Christian's life, somebody else sees something, and asks a question. That's what this verse is talking about. God's working, somebody sees something. Now, they might not call it, you know, I want to know about your hope in God. I've heard plenty enough stories of people that said, I had a friend, I had a relative, and there was something in their life, and I said, I want it. That's what this is talking about. There's something there. So when you answer, just let me give you a couple of encouragements. First, be genuine. Don't think, oh, I have to act like everything is all together and I have all the answers, because we aren't all together and we don't have all the answers. So just be genuine. If they ask a real question, try to answer it, but recognize this, that sometimes people, if they see that you're a Christian or that faith or spirituality is important to you, will ask a question because they're actually attacking Christianity. Don't answer that one necessarily. And then as you're talking with this person, if they ask you a question and you don't know, don't be afraid to say, I don't know. We could almost practice it. I don't know. I heard of one particular man who became a Christian a little bit later in life, and he said it was those three words from a friend of his that actually kept him connected and asking more questions. Because he saw something in his friend's life. They began talking about spiritual things because this man wanted to know more about spiritual things. And he would ask his friend a question, and sometimes his friend would say, I don't know, but I'll go find out so we can talk about it. And he did. And he said it was that genuineness and that humility, that the guy wasn't trying to act like he had all the answers and had his act together, that actually convinced them this is something worth knowing more about. So don't be afraid to say, I don't know, as you talk with people. And then finally, we are putting together some training on this to hope to have next year in a few months. So stand by for that. Let me take the next two points together and just talk about them briefly. Christian life is a life of good works that God has prepared for us after He rescues us and begins to change us. And the order is important, because you and I are not doing good works in order to get God to like us, in order to get God to give us the things that we want. We have good works, as we're told in Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're told that God chose us before He created the world, that He was going to adopt us and make us His children. And that also that He created these good works. What is that? Us being His hands and feet and voice as we're living life, as we're at work and with our family and with neighbors, all of these things. And God, in these good works, has things for us to do where we're giving and serving. One thing that should prompt you to think is to realize that means you and I don't have to come up with a whole bunch of good things to do for others. God already has them. So the opportunities are there. Pray that God would help you to see those opportunities, but also recognize this one, that sometimes the opportunity comes in the form of an interruption. Okay? You're busy at work or working on something at home, all these other things, and somebody comes and interrupts you. And I don't know about you, but there have been times where I've missed that was an opportunity. And I'm just waiting, how do I get you to go away? When actually God wanted the interruption to happen, the work will get done. The other things, that'll get taken care of. He had an opportunity right then for us to give. And as we give, goes to the next point, Christian life is a life of serving that includes sacrifice at times. The kind of life that we're talking about here, Christian life of giving and receiving, is not always comfortable. It's not always comfortable because people are messy. Not just those people, but these people. Okay? We're all a little bit messy. Sometimes, as I've heard people say, people are not efficient. And people are not always thankful, even if we do something. So as we give and serve, there can be sacrifice, difficulties. So let me just encourage you, as you're praying and looking for these opportunities, that when you say yes to one thing, recognize you are saying no to other things. I'll give you one small example. Parents have a child, and especially in Northern Virginia. If you're here, your child is probably going to be involved in sports of some kind, and they're going to ask you, will you go to the sport, you know, to the event and watch and be there? Say, so if you say yes, just recognize you're also saying no to the other things you might have done otherwise, all good things. Maybe you were going to needed to spend some extra time at work, wanted to get some things done. Maybe you had projects at home. I've seen parents try to be efficient and do both. And so they go with their child to the game, but they're on the phone all the time while the child's playing. Or they're on their computer working. And you know what? Child is over here playing the sport. When they look and they see mom and dad on the phone and not looking at them, they get the message. So when you say yes, you and I say yes to one thing, we're saying no to other things, which is a way in which we may have to sacrifice. So count the cost. But then another thing that I would encourage you to do is to pray that God would give you a heart that delights in giving to others. Otherwise, it can become a burden. Remember that God freely gives to us. He even freely gives to people who reject Him. Final point, Christian life is a life of forgiving and being forgiven. One way to give to others is to forgive. Because again, we're broken people, we mess up, we offend others. In Colossians 3:13, we see this, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. And then he qualifies and he says, now here's how it is you are to forgive. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So bearing with one another means you're being patient and kind. That's a choice that you and I make. And then if there isn't a complaint, if there is an offense, we forgive. What does it mean to forgive? When you and I forgive, we are choosing not to hold the offense against the other person. Let's say that I was angry with you and I said something unkind to you. If you choose to forgive me, you're saying, yes, Mark, you did say that, but I'm not going to let the memory of what you said stand between you and me. I'm going to move it out of the way. Choose not to hold it against me so that now as you interact with me, you're free to be friends, to do good. You're not stuck in where you and I end up if we say, I won't forgive. When you and I don't forgive, we say yes to the bitterness. We say yes to anger. We say yes to broken relationships and isolation. Remember, one of the great things that we give is ourselves. And so if there is complaints, if there is offenses, we can forgive and we can also receive that forgiveness. So what we've seen is, I just fed you with a fire hose. This was an overview touching on several different important points of the Christian life and as it relates to our giving and receiving. Things I want you to remember. One, God gives first, and God's the greatest giver. When you and I give, anytime we give, we're copying God because He's the greatest giver. And He's giving now, and He will continue to give, and He wants to use you and me as His hands and feet and voice in giving to others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your truth. We thank You that You are the greatest giver, the first giver. We ask, Lord, that You would work in us. First, that we would see how it is You give to us, and then see the opportunities to be used by You to give to others, to care for them, small ways and in big ways. And since most of our life is dealing with the small stuff, there's going to be lots of small ways that you and I can give. So Lord, we thank You for giving to us first and then using us to give to others. Help us to delight in Your working in us and to delight in being used by you to work in the lives of others. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.